If you will, for the last few minutes here this evening, take the Word of God with me and turn to Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah 42. And what I'd like to do, if I may, and as the Lord helping me, I'd like to share in conjunction with some verses in this passage about how the Lord led us to the country of Indonesia. I touched on it briefly this morning that we had a direction concerning missions after we graduated from college, but we just didn't know specifically where God wanted us. And if you think about, there are nearly 200 countries in the world in many different dependencies and, almost 8 billion people. So we all know there are places to be used of God. There are every country needs missionaries. We know that. So how do you know exactly where God wants you? I don't know about you, but that thought gnawed at me after we graduated from college, because I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt God wanted us on the mission field. My wife did too. But just knowing where exactly God wanted us. And I want to say before we get into the message tonight that there is a difference between a burden and a call. Now, may I say this as well? God has called us all to serve Him. God has called us all to be, if I may use this term in a loose sense, a missionary. And I think that everyone understands what I mean when I say that. We're called to reach the lost wherever we are. So don't get me wrong. In trying to discern the Lord's will for us, it wasn't that we didn't want to serve God where we were at the time, but we wanted a specific goal and a direction to shoot for the future. But we need to remember that as we go, we're still reaching people. Isaiah chapter 42, you're there. And I like to read a handful of verses, starting in verse 6. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 6, it says this: I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Verse 10 says this: Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rock sing, let them shout from the top of the mountains. And then verse 12, let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. Father, we thank you tonight for giving us this moment in time, Lord, that we can gather around your word. We thank you for the faithfulness of your people. Lord, we thank you for the faithfulness of the pastor and his family. Lord, we ask tonight that you would speak to us. Father, that you would ignite in our hearts that fire, the drive to reach the lost people of this world, the people that are all around us. And Lord, so much of it is we know what we're supposed to do. It's just doing it. I pray that you would help us, Lord. We need your help. And as we seek you, may you grant the desires that we need to have to reach the lost, Lord. But may it not simply be a duty, but may we have a longing to win souls for you. And Lord, we give all this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. This specific passage that we just read is very significant and special to us as a family, to me personally. When we were seeking God's will for our lives, and I mentioned this morning during the Sunday School Hour, God took us back to my hometown in Harrisonburg. I got a job as a salesman, and just wanting God's direction. And while we were there, we weren't idle. The Lord allowed us to plug into some ministries at my home church, filling in the pulpit for my pastor when he was away, and various teaching places and so forth, and all of that. The Lord allowed us to do those things as a way to help train us further. But through it all, we were diligently seeking for God's direction. We went to different people, different missions directors that we knew, and our own pastor, and missionaries that we knew, and trying to discern what God's will for our lives was. And two specific burdens that we had concerning missions. One was a burden to go to a country where there wasn't a whole lot of gospel witness already. You say, why would you pray for that specifically? Well, part of that is due to the influence that we had when we were at Crown College. And there was a major emphasis put on reaching unreached people groups. And that was something that stuck with us. And as we read this evening in this chapter, verses 10 and 11 give us an interesting perspective into some of the different locations that people lived in the Old Testament time. Isaiah writes this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in verse 10, "Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof, the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rock sing, let them shout from the tops of the mountains." He's giving us here locations that the Israelites would have been familiar with. And notice he begins with "sing unto the Lord" in verse 10, a new song. In fact, in verse 12, he says, "let them give glory unto the Lord." What is he emphasizing here? He's emphasizing people groups that need to know about God. He's emphasizing people in these different locations because it mentions the inhabitants of all these specific geographical areas that need to hear who God is. Now, if we think about God's chosen people, the Israelites, God, throughout their history, used them in a great and mighty way. But it wasn't so they could keep to themselves. It was so that he could be glorified through them. And you think about all of the people throughout the Old Testament who were not Jews who God used, who were not Israelites. You think about Rahab the harlot. She was from Jericho. She was a Canaanite lady. You think about Ruth. I'm sorry. Ruth was a Moabite woman. You think about all these people that God used. God wanted the Israelites to realize he wasn't just there for them. He was using them in a great way so that he would be known in the world around them. And he's telling them here that he's going to send, in essence, he's prophesying, Isaiah's prophesying that Christ is going to come, and he's going to come and reach not just the Israelites, but the Gentiles also. Did you catch that in verse 6? Isn't it amazing that even before the gospel specifically came to the Gentiles, God wanted the Gentiles to be reached? He says, "I, the Lord, have called thee," in verse 6, "in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people," for what? "A light of the Gentiles." Now, what does all that have to do with us today? Because the Israelites were given this command, in essence, to reach the unreached people of their day. We today have been given a command to reach the unreached people. You know, we think about the billions of people in this world. I heard it said very recently that the world is not unreachable, it's just unreached. You see, it's not impossible to go to Indonesia and give the gospel. It's just people need to be willing to go. It's not impossible to reach people in Richmond, Virginia with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We just need to be willing to go. We need to be willing to obey the command that Christ has given to us. So we had a desire to go to an area of the world where there weren't a whole lot of other missionaries, because in the darkest of places, the light shines the brightest. The second burden that we had that God had given us was a specific burden to reach Muslims. Now that might surprise you. That might come as maybe something you weren't expecting. And there's not a specific thing in my background or in our history or in our life together that leads me to believe that there was something that the Lord earth-shatteringly said, you know, "I want you to go reach Muslims." But it was a burden that the Lord placed on my heart over time. You know, Islam is one of the fastest growing religions in our world today. It's a false religion. The people who are in that religion are blinded by the darkness of that religion and the darkness of their sin. And if you think about the people of Indonesia, we were asking Miss Marlin today, you know, the people in Indonesia follow Islam for the most part, not because they may even believe or not believe that it's the right way to go, but for the most part, it's all they've ever known. It's a part of their culture. It's interwoven into every part of their daily life. And so we can look at Muslims and think what we want about them, but the fact is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sin just as much as he did for our sin. And it's our job to reach them with the gospel. There's something in here that you may not have picked up on, and I had to do a little bit of research myself. In verse 11, there is one proper name that's mentioned. That's the name of Kedar. If you go back into Genesis, and you study who Keter was. Keter was one of the four sons of Ishmael. Now, Ishmael, if you'll remember, was the illegitimate son of Abraham. He took to Hagar to be his wife so he could bear a child through her. She had Ishmael, and then that was him not trusting God. If you think about Islam today, especially in the Middle East with the Arab peoples, they can trace their lineage all the way back to Ishmael. So Keter, being one of the four sons of Ishmael, would have been in that line of people that today we have the Arab Muslim people that really descended through those lines from Ishmael. So what the Lord is saying in essence through the voice of Isaiah here is that he wants his name to be known among the people that are Arabs as well, and among the Muslims as well. And then you go down to verse 12, it says, "Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands." You see, when we were trying to seek God's face about where he wanted us to go, we had no idea where, but the Lord began to direct our attention towards Southeast Asia. He used a number of things, from advice from different people. We were speaking to missionaries. And one thing I'd like to point out that is unique in our story, I told you I worked as a car salesman. My sales manager, I don't believe he's saved, but he grew up in a pastor's home, a Presbyterian pastor's home. And he knew that we were going to be missionaries, and he knew that we were considering Southeast Asia. And one day, out of the blue, he came out to me and he said, "Have you ever considered Indonesia?" Now think about that. God used a man who I believe is unsaved as a part of our puzzle, putting together the pieces to lead us to Indonesia. See, God can use those things in our life to direct us and to point our attention towards where he wants us to be. And as we began to pray about Indonesia, we discovered that there weren't a lot of missionaries there. We also discovered that it's the world's largest Muslim country. And as all of these things started coming together and the vision started to become clearer and the Lord shaped that burden into something specific, we prayed that God would specifically call us. And many people have different views on this. I am convinced thoroughly, though, that God speaks to us through his word. I'm convinced that God calls us through his word. Now, he uses other things to direct us and focus our attention, as I mentioned, but I believe a specific call comes from God's word specifically. And we were praying that the Lord would give us a verse or verses that would confirm in our hearts that that was exactly what he wanted us to do, that he wanted us in Indonesia to the purpose, as it says in verse 7, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. And as we began to pray, the Lord gave my wife a number of verses that confirmed the call in her own life. And we prayed specifically to that, and that God would not just call me, but my wife as well, as a unit together, but separately. We wanted this to be exactly what God wanted us to do. And I prayed and I searched, and the Lord allowed me to find Isaiah 42:12. And for us, that was a confirmation of God's call in our life to go to the country of Indonesia. And I wish I had time to share with you all the other parts of the puzzle that God put together. But ultimately, he used his word to confirm in our hearts that yes, he was indeed leading us to that country and calling us to go. And once we knew from God's word that's where he wanted us, we knew that everything else would fall into place in his timing the way he wanted it to. But I'd like to focus in the last couple minutes here on that verse 7. Part of that verse was in our video at the beginning with the slides, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. As we think about people that are hard to reach, think about somebody in your life that you think, that is a person that's not easy to talk to because of their personality, the way they look, the things that they believe, the music they listen to, whatever the case may be. Think about someone specifically in your life that you know that's a hard person to reach. And then think about the fact that right now, however we may feel about them, they're blinded by their sin. They're sitting in darkness. They're imprisoned and chained by their sins. How many of you remember the day that you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you remember being able to look back and see that even though you didn't realize it before, you were lost? You were blinded by your sin. The chains of sin had bound you. And when Jesus Christ came in, what did he do? He set you free. He opened your eyes. He brought the light in. And these people who are lost in darkness and in their sin, no matter who they are, where they come from, or what they believe, need to hear about what Jesus Christ can do for them. Many people have different biases and views towards Muslims. We're very thankful that in our own lives, there's nothing in our past that has clouded our vision like that. But the Lord has opened our eyes to the need, and we're willing to go. Are you willing to go here in your area? Are you willing to share with somebody else who may be difficult to reach, who may be a Muslim, who may be someone that you just don't like, but they deserve every chance to hear the gospel just like you did, just like I did? To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. God has given us a simple job to do, and Satan does his very best to distract us from that job. I hope that you're seeking God's specific will for your life, but while you're seeking the direction God wants you to go, that you're being willing to give the gospel wherever you go, because people are lost. They need to hear the truth of God's word.